88.1 FM.
70,000 watts of gospel power.
Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Gives the chance of my harvest up to choice. Did you get that? So if I go and I sow a dollar, now let's take a dollar and let's say there's a difference between 34 and 30%, but let's use 30% just as an easy mathematical equation. If I take $1 and I sow it, I say, Lord, where do you want to put it? He says, put it here or give it there, and I do it, because I prayed about where he wants me to place it, sowing in good ground. So I sowed this dollar. Now, if I get 30% back, not 34, but 30% back, that means I get how much back? Any mathematicians in the house? Did somebody say 30 cent? I'm going to say, y'all didn't come out of elementary too good, did you? 30%. Somebody's saying $1.30. 30%. Anybody got a calculator? Y'all. Listen at this. Let me tell you in God's language and mathematics what a dollar would be in 30-fold. It would literally be $30. It would be $30. That $1 in his mathematics would be at 60-fold would be $60. 100-fold, that $1 would be $100. Okay, it's that. Now, 30% of that is different. But even at 30%, that's a good return on a dollar. Listen at this. Okay, because when you understand, again, any increase over what you've got is a blessing. Amen. The old folk used to put it this way, a penny saved is a penny earned. And some of y'all are too big to stoop down and pick up a penny on the ground. But I can be dressed up in a tuxedo and see a penny. Reach on down there and put that penny. And I promise you, but I mean, there is a different reason for me why pennies are important, because it's a reminder one day of a promise God made me. And he said, every time you see this penny, it's a reminder of what I promise I'm going to. And I see a penny. Don't let me see a penny. I mean, I will pick it up. The only places I don't pick up pennies at are in places that I know it belongs to the people, like in people's houses. I don't be picking up pennies up in your house. I don't be picking them up at the register where somebody live next to my. I know that ain't mine. But if it's out on the street and it's free game, you know, I'm going to reach on there and pick that penny up, because I saw it first. Amen. All right, well, I want you to understand these, again, are principles at play that we've got to learn how to operate in, moving beyond what we see. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, which means I begin to see it the way God wants. I will get what God wants me when I focus on what he wants for me. I begin to operate in those principles that he has said, he has spoken, he has determined as his word, as his will, as his way. So that means then if I took his principle and operated in it, he's under warrant to back it up. He's got to back it up because I'm doing what he's saying. Now that means I've got to know what he said to do it. Because I can wish and pray all day and all night, but if I'm not functioning according to his word, he doesn't have to do a thing about it. And so I can spend $30 a month buying a ticket a day or whatever it costs, it might cost more than a dollar, but whatever that is, a day, trying to hit the lottery, the jackpot, to pick a day or whatever that is. I can do that every day and pray. And God will say, fool, what could you have done and gained had you invested that same $30 a month in ministry or in someone that I spoke to you to minister to by doing this? What return would you have gotten off of that? That was sure to come. But that's too much like right for some of us because we like to see the scene. And at least with the scene is when I get that dollar, I got a piece of paper to hold on to. Just one little piece of paper with some numbers on it. But here's what we don't understand. When we sow that seed, God gives us more than a piece of paper to hold on to. He gives us his word to hold on to. And so we need to stop looking at the natural, hoping that the natural will bring about the result that we want when God wants us to look into the faith realm. Look beyond the natural. Look beyond the seen. Look beyond the here. Look beyond the now and see into the spirit realm, the things and the deeper things that God has for us. And he reveals to us who love him. Yes. That there are some things he's going to tell those of us who love him. He ain't going to tell folk who are just there hanging out. God wants you to hear it, see it, know it, understand it so that you can operate in those things and be in the know. And as you do this, you begin to function and flow in the power of God, understanding again all of the things that he has for us and those who love him that he does for nobody else. I want to share something else again. Creating right images. You know this very familiar verse of scripture. Philippians 4 and 8, and it starts off by saying, finally, brethren, meaning believers, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on what? These things, creating right images. Think on these things. The Message Bible puts it like this. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on these things. True, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me. Now, one of the things that you need to recognize is, as Paul speaks these words to help us to create right images, our images are going to come from the content of our thought processes. So that means this: I can't think good with evil or bad or wrong in the forefront of my thinking. I can't think positive when I am surrounded with and buy into negativity. I can't think what God wants me to think if I don't know what God has said. And once then I have God's position on the matter, I then take from his word the biblical basis for my thinking and enter that into the process of my thinking. So then while I'm challenged by the scene, I know what I'm dealing with. That's what that means. So let's say my body is sick. That's the scene. I now have his word. The doctor's report has said this is the problem. That's the scene. I see the report. I see the effects of it on my body. But the word of God has said, by his stripes ye were healed. One is a bad report. The word has already said in Isaiah, whose report will you believe? The record has just told me to think on good reports. Well, what is a good report? Bad report says I'm sick. Good report says I'm healed. if I begin to think on the good report, then that means then I begin to think on the things that make for, again, the reality of the good report being a part of my life. In other words, when I'm sick and when I'm down, instead of thinking about the medicines I'm gonna take and thinking about all the pain I'm in and thinking about all of the negative things connected with my sickness, what I ought to be thinking about is getting back and getting ready to go back to work, thinking back about all of the things I can do to make my family a blessed family, thinking about all of the things you can do when you're healthy, thinking about those things that I'm gonna be able to do once I get up out of this bed. So I change my thinking from looking at the seen to looking at the unseen. The unseen is the record is I'm healed. So I'm thinking about what I'm gonna do when I get up from here. Not what I gotta do and what I'm missing out on since I am here. Now notice the word says, again, by his stripes ye were healed. Notice it doesn't say before his stripes ye were sick. It don't even mention nothing about sickness, does it? The record is, don't even put all of that stuff that you see in your mind that's not like the word of God. By his stripes ye were healed. Well, it's obvious if I was healed, I must have been. But I ain't even got to bring that up because it's insignificant against the bosom of God's word and the backdrop of eternity, which says, he says what he means what he says, and I have it. So if I have it, why don't I speak it? Why don't I walk in it? Why don't I declare it? Why don't I do it? And so when I begin to think about those things, it gives me what I need to create, his word, the right images. The right images. And the right images always gives me the right rewards. I show I'm walking by faith when I move beyond what I see and I'm not moved by what I see and I'm not shaken by what I see. And when I hold on to that truth, I am blessed better than blessed. Hold on 1 second here. Y'all close your eyes for 1 second. I got it. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Yeah. I went to the Chinese restaurant today. And it said, when both feet are planted firmly, nothing can shake you. And I said to myself, after I was full, I say, how true that is, when both feet are planted, meaning are securely placed, nothing can shake you. Now, when you think the way God wants you to think, the devil's report don't even shake you. The stuff that the enemy's trying to do don't even shake you. Because when you are firmly planted in the word of God, listen at this, you realize this too. I might be hurting today, I might be sorrowful today, this might be here today, but listen again, it's gonna pass. Because today is gonna pass. And if I let it pass with today, then guess what? When I wake up in the morning, it's a new day. I've got new blessings, new mercies. I mean, I should think anew. And see, when I begin to do that, that means when I begin to speak as he speaks and rejoice as he rejoices in the truth of his own word, the word is rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say, rejoice. Why is it important to rejoice in the Lord? Because the Lord does not change. His word is not going to change. And if I rejoice in him who is conquering and who is changing and controlling everything else that is connected with me, then if he's happy about it, I ought to be ecstatic about it. Because if no weapon is formed against me that's going to prosper, then why do I have to worry about all of that? If I'm more than a conqueror through Christ, why do I worry about that? I mean, if I truly have what he says I have, I am who he says I am, can do what he says, well, what am I worried about? And so when I begin to think the thoughts of the word in my thinking, I begin to create right images. This is what you need to do. You need to see things the way God sees. Now, again, we just got through talking about money, but look at what Luke 6:38 says. Let's just go there right quick. Luke 6:38. It says, give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosoms. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Now let's go back to Luke 6:38. What does the first word say?
Give.
What comes after give?
And.
Somebody said and. No, and doesn't come after give. Comma comes after give. That means to pause, look back, reflect, hold on, don't move too fast till you get the first part straight. Give, comma. You don't need to read the rest of the verse if you don't give. It ain't talking to you. This is for the folk who have done what the first word says do. Now when you give, keep on reading. Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb. And conjunction, which means when you do your part, God has got to do his part, because his part is followed by yours. You do the possible and God will do the impossible. Now look at this again. And it shall be given unto who? You? All right, look at what it says. Good measure. What is good measure? Good measure actually refers to a just weight, which means that God is to honor what he says. If you do this, I'll give you this. This is the measure for this. So when you do what you are supposed to do, God's going to do what he said, and it's going to be a measure far greater than what you gave. In other words, it's not a shifty scale. God's going to do it because he said he's going to do it, not a man that he should lie. And then look what he says right after good measure, running over. I mean, pressed down and shaken together and running over. Now, I want you to know that each stage gets progressively greater. First part is it's pressed down. Ooh, Jesus. Pressing it down. And then it's like when you go to the store and you're trying to fill up your container. And you open up some sugar and you got a size of it, but you got a little more sugar than you got a container. And so you start shaking it together. Trying to get it all in there and everything, every little corner that might get. And then it says when you press down and shaking it together, it ain't over yet. Because while you're trying to do that, stuff starts running over. Now listen at this. When it runs over, just like in the Psalm 23, when he says, my cup runneth over. The cup, no proper table is set with a cup without a saucer. And a cup is designed to hold something, liquids, whatever, anything. But the saucer is to catch the overrun, the overflow. Now the saucer isn't the cup and the cup isn't the saucer. But you got to understand, even if you can't be the cup, you ought to at least desire to be the saucer so you can get the overflow. Because I'm here to tell you, if you hang around the right cup, that's a lot of stuff. Oh, I wish I had a witness. I mean, there are some brothers, I just like to be the salt. Brother, look, you don't need that. Hallelujah. Because a lot of the overflow is stuff they never got to use. They can give you brand new stuff. They never pull the tags off of. Y'all not hearing me. Oh, I've got too much of this. Man, look, can you use this? Can I use that? Hallelujah. I ain't talking about it's used stuff. I'm talking about it's so much stuff they can't use it. Oh, my goodness. And I got news for you. If you hang around being the saucer long enough, you'll learn cup mentality. Oh, I wish I had somebody here. I wish I had a witness in the house. All right, look at this. I got to move on because my time is gone. 2 Corinthians 9 and 6. Philippians 4 and 19. Look at these words again. Philippians 4 and 19 says, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 9:6 tells us, if we give a little bit, we're going to get a little bit back. Amen. We've got to learn how to create in our mind the right image of what I want. See, the seen says you don't have but a seed. But the unseen says if you plant the seed, you'll have a harvest. Now, it's hard to give away your seen, which is your seed, when you can't see your harvest. Are y'all here? See, that's why y'all should have been shouting. You still think about your seed. I got news for you. You can never do as much with your seed as you can with your harvest. And I try and tell folk already, if you're already penny pinching, if you're already tight, if you're already borrowing and robbing Peter to pay Paul, if you're already at a point where you lack and slack and don't have enough, what then, listen again, is going to worsen your situation to trust God? You already can't make ends meet. You're already at a place where you got to tell somebody, let me hold something to pay that. And don't see the vicious cycle, and you pay them back on payday, and then you got to, you know, you get wise, you get your two or three other folk. So when you get it from this one this month, you go to the other one next month. And it'll be 3 months again before you get back to the one and, hey man, look, let me hold this something till payday. You know I'm good for it, bro. And he ain't gonna loan it to you, but you never get out of that vicious cycle till you change some things. And then when you learn to change some things, you begin to sow your seed instead of eat your seed. And when you begin to sow your seed, there is an expectation that begins immediately at the releasing of the seed in the ground. You start beginning to think about that harvest, and every day the harvest thought is developed by, I know it's on the way. And everything you do to cultivate that seed is in preparation of that harvest that's coming. But you never look for a harvest. Well, maybe not. I could be wrong. Let me see the hands of those of you who are expecting a literal or for real harvest with some apples or oranges or some watermelons or something. Yeah. Now, all of these people who have raised their hands are obviously folk who have sown some real seed in real ground. If not, there's a man with a white coat that I'd like to recommend you see. Because if you're looking for a harvest and you have planted no seed, that's foolish. That's foolish. Because you have not done anything to expect a harvest. You've not planted no seed. So what you looking for a tree to come up for? Is anybody hearing me here? The only people are looking for something to come up are people who put something in the ground. And then when you do that, you can expect a miracle. You can expect what God's going to do. And in its season, when it is time for it to come up, you are looking for yours to come up. And if you have nurtured it and cultivated and done what you're supposed to, it's supposed to produce some nice fruit on that tree. So then you have an expectation for that return. So many of us don't live in a spirit of expectation. Because we don't know how to release in faith. We don't know how to say, Lord, you said it, I believed it, and I operated in it. Now, God, I'm expecting you to do your part. Now, I've done everything that you've told me to do about that. Romans 4:17, our last scripture on this. This is where, again, we begin to see Abraham's image being shaped by the image of God speaking into his life. God spoke those things that were spiritual in the unseen, and they manifested themselves into the natural or the seen. He told him that he was going to make him a father of many nations, changed his name, called him Abraham, and every time he heard his name, again, that was a reminder that I am the father of many nations. Even though he made him that promise, and it was 25 years later before the seed or the son of promise came to fruition. The seed was spoken, and God utilized that seed in the way that it brought forth. But again, they got worried because they didn't see what they were supposed to see. And you know the story. They tried to help God. God don't need no help. God just needs you to believe him. And if you believe him, you'll receive from him. But when you start trying to do it yourself, take it in your own hands, make it work out when you think it ought to work out. Listen again, God wanted this thing. Remember, your light affliction is but for a moment, but it's working an exceeding and weight, I mean a weighty weight of glory. You're going to get something far more precious and powerful than the pain or the afflictions that you're going through. So here again, they had to wait for 25 years. But when that finally materialized, look at how great, how grand their blessing was. And listen, I'm of the opinion that had they not tried to help God, it would have happened a lot sooner than 25 years. See, what you don't understand is when God makes a promise, he's got to back up his promise. But your disobedience can delay the promise. He won't deny it because if he's spoken it, he's going to do it, and it's not predicated upon you totally, and your obedience brings it to pass in the proper season. But your disobedience caused your season that it would have come originally to be skipped over until you get your act together, and then it comes in the next season that follows that God deems worthy. Listen to what I'm saying. How many of us have been right on the brink of getting our blessing, on the brink of getting our breakthrough, and we couldn't wait on God and got out of his will? And then and God promised you something, but he's faithful to deliver, but you got it a whole lot later. You were looking for it for Christmas. But he decided to wait till your birthday the next year. I mean, I don't care if your birthday is like mine the next month. When you want it on Christmas, you ain't looking for it on your birthday. Now, I mean, that may be a little different if your birthday is on Christmas. That's a little different story there. That was a joke, people. Man. Creating right images. How do I create right images? Through the Word of God. If God said it, and I believe it, and I meditate upon it, and I begin to speak it, then I am able to see what God said in the spirit realm, the unseen realm to the flesh, but the seen realm to the spirit. And looking, you ought to spend a little time looking around in the unseen world. I tell you, it'll excite you like nothing else. God will start showing you some stuff that's yet to come that will excite every fiber of your being. God will show you stuff so great that you'll be saying, Lord, for me. Lord Jesus. You'll be like, no, man, not me. You spend a little time in the spirit realm. And you'd be like, well, Lord, all I wanted was this. And he said, you know, because you've been faithful over a few things, come on up higher. I'm going to make you ruler. And you'd be like, Lord, little old me. Yeah, he'll do it. Any witnesses in the house? No, he'll do it. Hallelujah. Well, give the Lord some praise for it there. The doors of the church are open. The doors of the church are open. Doors of the church are open. Somebody here today, my brother, my sister, need to know.
Oh, he's a wonder in my
soul. I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3.